This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I am glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become the start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you so much. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today's guest is an online marketing expert that began his online advertising career with his college cafeteria money, and since then he has managed millions of dollars in digital ad spends in entertainment, fashion, finance, and software industries. He has an MBA in marketing and is currently the CEO of Advertisement, a digital advertising agency that specializes in helping successful companies advertise on Facebook. He even wrote a book about the subject called The Complete Guide to Facebook Advertising. When he's not at the office, you can find him doing CrossFit, mud runs, or traveling. He has lived in Australia, Greece, and Fiji. His name is Brian Mert. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, what's up? It's good to be here.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Long time no see.
It is a long time.
So maybe we should tell everybody how we met. So we actually had offices next to each other.
Uh-huh.
And you outgrew the office and are now in Hollywood, right?
That's correct. We used to be very close, like right next door to each other. And and then our business has grown a little bit. So we had to move to a different location where we had a little bit more space. But I miss it here. Peter has a beautiful office. I'm always jealous because I love being at the beach.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And one thing that I remember, before we got started talking, I just want to tell you this. One thing that I remember with you and why I wanted you here is you always had that positive vibe. Mm. And I know you were growing a business, so it's not easy, but I think you always took the time to talk to people and be very positive. So when I thought about I want to do something with someone that knows about Facebook advertising and marketing online, I instantly thought of you. So thank you for being so positive.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you know, it's something that's funny. I get that a lot from people that are like, oh, you're positive. Or I just think, you know, you only have so many days on planet Earth, and you get to choose every day how you want to approach life. You know, you can go through it grumpy, you can go through it angry, or you can go through it just being happy and enjoying and being grateful for the people you get to be around or be with. You know, we're a couple blocks from the ocean, right at Santa Monica. It's beautiful. So, you know, for people that are listening, like, you have the ability to choose at any point in time how you want that day to turn out. You know, things may happen to you externally, but you get to choose what you want. And that's just, you know, it's something I kind of live by and try to just, you know, enjoy myself and smile and make friends along the way.
That's great. And I think what people should know, like, starting a business and being an entrepreneur, if you want, you can pull your hair out, right?
No, it's so true.
It's a choice.
You know, it's funny because there's the glamorous side of like, hey, you can become a billionaire and there's tons of money and you get to be a CEO of a company. And then there's the flip side, which a lot of times doesn't get shared on social media, which are the long hours, the headaches, the running into dead ends, or things that, you know, obstacles that seem almost insurmountable when you're like, oh man, how am I going to solve this one? And so you really have to, I think, you know, just love what you do or be kind of passionate about, you know, going for it, is what I've found is the people that generally, you know, make it and can go the distance is they really, really want to be there.
Yeah.
So right. So we're going to talk a lot about your life, Facebook advertising and marketing. But let's start with Brian Mirth. Who are you really as a person?
So, I mean, I'm just a dude that just enjoys doing marketing. I grew up, I wasn't a business guy at all. Like growing up, I always thought guys like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs had some magical ability, right? That they had like Michael Jordan can dunk, you know, like he was just born that way. Where he was good, or at least he was naturally talented. And so I always thought business people were kind of like that, that they had this secret something that I didn't have. The only thing I ever did in business was my mom used to buy these giant bags of candy, like Smarties. You know what Smarties are? You like unwrap them. She used to buy these giant bags from like Costco or things like that. And my parents would make me make my own lunch every morning when I'd go to school. And I eventually got lazy and was like, I don't want to have to make a sandwich and put everything together. So I would just grab a handful, like a whole bunch of these Smarties. And when I got to school, I would trade them. I'd be like, hey, I'll give you like 10 candies for a sandwich and 5 candies for an apple and 4 candies for some chips, right? So I would trade it away and I'd be like, cool, I now have my lunch. But eventually that bag of candy went away and I couldn't do it anymore. But that was it. I mean, the only other thing that was the only entrepreneurial thing I ever did when I was little. My parents made me work a lot. So I was like a paper boy as a little kid. I was a janitor going through high school. So they always would try to get me into jobs and just get me into positions where I could work. And I think that was the beginning of maybe teaching me the value of, man, it's a lot more fun to have money than to not have money. So that was something that I always liked, being like, oh, you know, I was a paper boy and I'd get a check for like $20 a week or something like that. But I was like, sweet, I can buy baseball cards or a new baseball bat or whatever I wanted. Like I had the freedom. So I think that's kind of where it started. But I mean, I didn't really get into starting businesses or getting into entrepreneurial stuff at all until I took a year to Fiji. I took a year off from college and went to Fiji to live there. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, maybe be a doctor, maybe be a teacher. And so I went to a place where I could volunteer and do both. So I would work in a medical clinic in the morning, and then I would teach English in the afternoon to students at a school. And I was there, and after about 4 or 5 months, there was no electricity, no radio, no internet, no TV. So we were just chilling, like climbing coconut trees and fishing and riding around in boats or hiking through the hills. That's all we'd do until it would get dark and there was nothing else to do. And eventually there was a library at the school, but they would lock it after everyone would leave. And all my life up until then, I was always like the guy in class that would joke around, have fun, not really do my homework. And eventually I was like, oh, there's nothing to do. And I was like, well, let's get into the library and see if we could read some books. And so I had to break into the library after school hours, and we took off one of the window panels and climbed through, and we'd start, you know, me and the guy I went with, we'd start reading books, and then we'd go take them back and check out more books. And I read a book during that time that said the average entrepreneur has gone bankrupt 3.75 times, or the average millionaire entrepreneur has gone bankrupt 3.75 times. And I remember there reading that in a little hut in Fiji, and I was like, I've gone bankrupt 0 times. And I was like, I haven't even tried. And that's really where the first time I think the seed got planted, where I was like, man, I gotta just try. Like, I'm not a business person, but if I ever want to get millions of dollars, I've got to at least try to start a business. And that's really like the first part of my journey, was just realizing I had to want it and to go after it. And from there, then comes the next tricky part, which is trying. And that's tough as well.
So what did you do after that year in Fiji? You started reading all these books and like, oh shit, I haven't got bankrupt even once. Like totally. It's a whole different world. So what did you do when you went back to the US?
Got it. So, I mean, I finished my degree in kind of education, was what I was looking at, was being a teacher. And then I realized I wanted to explore business. Now, I didn't know anything about business, but I looked and there was a program, an MBA program that I could get into. I had to take almost an entire summer and a summer and a half of courses to be able to do additional college courses to be able to get in. And that's really when I got in there, that I had a dean of business that was big into entrepreneurship. And his thing was, I don't care what you do, I want you to try. Just try. Like, take a swing at starting a business. And he had kind of come from, you know, nothing and had a great story. But that was the first time I ever had someone behind me that was like, try to start a business. Like, I don't care what or how or whatever you do, just try. And I think that would be, man, probably one of the best advices I ever got, because it is scary. When you think about starting a business, like, you're looking at Googles and Apples and Facebooks, these big companies that seem like they have so many things in place, but all of those started generally in a garage or a dorm room with a guy that's like, I'm going to try. So, I mean, that was the one thing that kind of came out of that year of school was, let me try to do something. And it was just crazy how that kind of took off and went from there.
So talk about your first business venture. What was that, except for trading the candy?
Totally. And this is where, you know, I think I've told you this story earlier, but my first business, I didn't know anything about business, but I knew that I wanted to be good at it. So I would read a lot of books. And one of the first books that I would ever start to read on was Setting Goals. And being able to set goals and understand how to do that effectively, because there's a right way and a wrong way to set goals. And so the first company I ever started was, two of my buddies and I were driving to the Grand Canyon, and we were talking about writing down our goals so that we could be able to achieve them. And he pulled out a little piece of card and he had it laminated. And we were like, dude, this is a pocket goal. Yeah. And so that was the beginning of, we created these little credit cards that people could write in online and type out their 7 goals, and we would print them on a credit card that you could keep with you. And then each goal had a little scratch area that you could scratch it off when you achieved it. So that was really, you know, once we started the company, we built a website, we bought all the products to be able to make it. We put up a website, we said, okay, here we are. We're like, this is it. We're gonna become internet millionaires. And no one came to our website. Maybe like 3 people, which we knew were our parents. And that was it. And so that was the beginning of when I had to jump in and figure out, how do I do digital marketing?
Yeah.
That was the beginning of kind of Google AdWords had just come out. Yeah. And so I used my cafeteria money in school to put into advertising, to be able to bring back to drive sales for the products. So there were days where I was like, sweet, we made tons of money. And the next day we'd make 0 money. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is, I'm gonna have to eat noodles all month, or I may not be able to eat anything if I don't figure this out. So from the very beginning, it got me to where it mattered. Like, there was something that I was immediately rewarded, or I was immediately penalized if I succeeded or if I failed. Yeah. And that just, for me, I was like, I gotta be able to eat. So I would study more, I would read more online, I would try to figure stuff out and go from there.
Yeah. So let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's go.
We have this company. What was the name of your company back then?
Pocket Goals.
Pocket Goals. So Imagine Pocket Goals is starting today, 2018. Mm-hmm. What would you do to start marketing that product? So, because you're an expert at this. Got so it. Let's have some fun and see, because there's a lot of people listening here that have some, maybe not a pocket goal business, but a similar business, mm-hmm. that they want to market. So what would you do to market this business?
Got it. Well, the two biggest options that people have now, especially when they're starting their business, is one, Google, which is fantastic. Someone that's typing in goal setting or tips for setting goals is actively looking for what it is that they're looking for, right? And if I have a product for goals, that's fantastic. The downside there is it's generally very expensive, because all the other bigger companies that deal with goal setting are bidding for those same keywords. So Google works great, but it's just a little expensive. The flip side is now Facebook, which has emerged over the last 4 years, and being able to run Facebook ads. This is where you can target people who are following you and following, you know, your audience. They're following Zig Ziglar or Anthony Robbins or other people, or Brian Tracy, or people that have written books on goal setting. And what happens is you can target people that like maybe all 4 of those people, and be able to say, I only want to go after that audience, which would mean they're probably very interested in self-learning, in self-development. And what happens is you may only need to pay, you know, $20 a day to be able to reach that small segment, but that's exactly who you would want to reach to say, hey, look, I've got something new that never existed before. and I can now, I want to see if you're interested. What happens is you spend a little bit of money, but you're targeting the people who are most likely going to be really interested in that. Yeah. And then from there, you know, you can, you get some sales from that, and then you can reinvest that into maybe a wider audience, or a bigger audience. Yeah.
Do you want, when you do content on Facebook, do you want to take the people from Facebook to your website, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, and this is where Facebook is has become huge, and it's a massive platform now. And in our company, you know, we specialize in this all day. I mean, it's still, we work nothing in this, and it's still big and growing. So there are options with Facebook. You have the ability to send people right off of Facebook to your website, wherever you want them to go. You know, ultimately, you're paying for it, so you can send people anywhere you want to your website, as long as it doesn't violate any of Facebook's policies. You're welcome to do that. Facebook also has some options, things like lead ads, where it's a form that you build on Facebook, and people can be able to fill that out. In fact, when the form opens, it's pre-filled with all the information from your Facebook profile. So you can be able to capture people's emails, their phone numbers, their addresses, right from inside Facebook, so they never leave Facebook, but then you have a list of people you could email or send mail to, or be able to get on the phone and talk to, which is awesome. They also have things called Canvas ads, which is where you can build kind of your own landing page right inside of Facebook. So you don't leave Facebook again, but it loads very quickly. It can have videos, images, things like that. And then there's Messenger ads, which is, you know, become very big over the last year. And this is where it'd be very similar to email marketing, except for it lives inside of the Messenger app, which is the number two app in the world that people use to be able to communicate. It's part of Facebook, or they broke it off. And this is where, as a company, you can target specific people and then begin to have kind of a one-to-one conversation with them, asking them, hey, what type of pizzas do you like? Oh, you like pepperoni? Oh, do you know? Here's the three sizes we have. Would you want to order one right now? So there's a lot that you can be able to do where people are able to talk a little bit more. So it's more kind of one-to-one personable marketing than it is just kind of a mass approach of what maybe email would be, which is just, hey, everyone, we have pizzas on sale, yeah, or something like that.
So that's pretty cool. So it's a big jungle when it comes to marketing, when you're a small entrepreneur. So one thing that I want to talk about, is it important for a business to collect data like email addresses, or what's your opinion about that?
I mean, it definitely is valuable. And I mean, on Facebook, if you're running Facebook ads and you're trying to send people to your website, you have to pay every time that person, that ad is shown, right? It's a bidding system and you have to pay for that. If you collect an email, that's now something that you own. And as long as that person doesn't unsubscribe, you can be able to communicate with them about, hey, here's a new product, here's a new service, here's a sale that we have, here's something else that we have going on. So it's actually, there is value to be able to build those lists, because there isn't necessarily a cost associated with emailing them again, unless, you know, you're using a mail system. But again, that's usually pretty minor in terms of expenses. Yeah. So there is value, because you now have the ability to reach those people with a message. And so usually I recommend having a portion of the budget go towards building a list or building Messenger, or, you know, also going towards driving sales. So we usually have, we'll work with our clients and build up kind of a breakdown of what they want to be able to do, and then go from there.
Interesting. And one thing that I think a lot of like new businesses forget about when they talk about digital marketing is customer acquisition costs. Mm-hmm. So that's basically, how much does it cost for me to get one customer, right? And do you have any tips for these businesses when they create these products? Does it has to be, if you want to live on Facebook marketing, Google AdWords, does your product has to have a minimum price, or can we just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things there. I mean, so I guess there's two questions. The one is, you know, understanding your customer acquisition cost. I mean, that's really an important number that everyone should know about their business. How much does it cost you to get a customer? Sometimes there's companies like Uber, when they first started, they would gladly spend way more than they got for per user to be able to get users. Netflix was the same thing. You know, when they were growing, they gladly spent way more than what they made per customer per month, because they knew we want to be able to keep them. It's on a subscription. So we'll pay a lot more to be able to get them on board. If you have a single product, you know, you want to know how much it costs, and be able to, that will help you know, as you're running Facebook ads or Google ads, am I profitable? Yes or no. And that will help you know what campaigns to turn off and what campaigns to focus on more. My one tip when it comes to digital marketing, just kind of the most general thing across the board, is remarketing will be your best ROI. So these are people that have poked their head or looked into your store. They've looked around and then they've left. Being able to show ads back to those people, and you can do remarketing both on Facebook and on Google, will be your very best campaign. So my advice is always start out with those. You generally won't spend as much, but it will grow as you get more traffic to your website. But that is where you will almost always see your best ROI.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So let's talk about being an entrepreneur. Why is that something that attracts you? Because you've had a couple of ventures. Why does that attract you?
So, I mean, the thing for me, I guess, about being an entrepreneur is there's a level of freedom where you kind of get to do your own thing. That can be both exciting because you're like, I get to do whatever I want. And it can be scary because if you make a wrong decision, everything can crumble behind what you've built. Like, if you know, there's you know, millions of things that can go wrong with a business, but you've got to get, you know, a bunch of them right to be able to make it work. And it's, so there's exciting. For me, it's also kind of like a game. It's a little bit like a video game. Like, you keep playing it, and if, you know, if you don't pass a level, you know, you're like, I'm gonna try again. And a lot of it is like that in business. You know, if you make a bad decision and you lose some money, it's not the end of the world. You know, not always, but you have the ability to try again and be like, let me go try another approach or do something else. And so, you know, I think there's, you know, I've worked in both jobs where I was the boss, and I've worked in jobs where I worked for someone else. I think generally I just enjoy helping things grow and making something bigger than it was the day before. And I enjoyed that process. And generally I like to find jobs that I find fun, as opposed to something that would be, you know, if a job for me isn't fun, I won't do it. I'll look for another job. So I think in terms of being an entrepreneur, there's definitely the excitement level there. But that also comes with, you know, days of being stressed out or being worn out. I don't know. My father is he's a nurse. He puts people to sleep. So a nurse anesthetist. And so, like, there's been times in his life where he could have, you know, risen up to be the boss or moved up the ladder. And he's like, you know what? No, I don't. He's like, I enjoy where I'm at. I go in, I work my time, and then I walk out and I get to hang out with my kids. I get to go travel. So, you know, being an entrepreneur definitely has moments where, you know, you might miss some of that because you're needing to work or needing to put in more time. So it really comes down to, you know, just understanding what it is. Like, there's sacrifices on both. Yeah. But like for my father, he's incredibly happy. And he's like, I didn't need to be the CEO of the biggest company. He's like, I wanted to enjoy hanging out with my family and doing the stuff I like doing. And that's what makes me happy. So, you know, for me, I was like, well, hey, I want to try to do it. And so he's excited. Like, he loves seeing it. And he's like, I'm so impressed by, you know, what you do. That's always crazy. I think for each person, you know, if it's something that you want, the one thing that I would say is a lot of times, you know, the people that want to be entrepreneurs, it looks shiny. Like, it looks like, oh, there's that magic. Oh, that looks amazing. You just get expensive cars and big houses and get to go all the cool parties. And just know that there is a side to that, which is long hours, lots of problems and issues. And it ultimately will end with you. Like, you've got to be the one that solves those. So, I mean, there's a flip side to it. And usually what gets shown is the happy side, the fun side. But there is an alternate side to that, which is, you know, the hard work that goes into it.
Thank you so much, Brian, for coming here. It means the world to me, and I think we covered some great stuff here today.
Nice.
And I also want to thank everybody that listened to this podcast. And if you like this episode, share it with your friends, your family, and everybody else that can benefit from this. And I also want to thank my sponsor, Panos Emporio, Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand. Thank you. Have an awesome day.